Let me share some scripture with you and tell you a couple of stories. When I was in ninth grade, I played basketball. And our coach, my ninth grade basketball coach, I remember very, very well. Great guy, but he was a yeller. And I remember one day I was having the practice of my life. I mean, I never had the game of my life. I kept waiting for the game of my life. It never happened. I guess you have to actually get into games to have the game of your life, right? But this one practice, I was on fire. I mean, everything I did. And we're running our offense, but the guy who was guarding me was cheating. He knew the offense as well as I did. He knew that the first pass I was supposed to make was over there. And so he was cheating it. And so I kind of faked the pass and drove by and made a layup. I mean, you know, take what the defense is giving you. You know, another time, you know, he's cheating the plan B, and he's way off me because he knows that I'm supposed to be dumping it inside, and I just pull up for a nice 15-foot jump shot, and everything I threw up there was going in. Coach blows his whistle, and he says, everybody gather around, which he didn't do. He almost never did this. So he has the whole team make a big circle and says, hole! That was me. Get over here. So I walk up and stand next to the coach. Frankly, I'm thinking he's going to tell the team, you know, if the rest of you guys, and especially you starters, played as hard as this guy does, we'd be undefeated this year or something like that. Wrong. Hull, how do you spell team? You know, I felt like saying, coach, I know we're all athletes out here, but come on, I've known how to spell team since I was in eighth grade. That was a joke, by the way. Subtle, but okay, thank you very much. And so I'm looking around. These guys are looking at me like, T-E-A-M. Hull, is there an I in team? Well, then it all became very clear to me. He'd read some article in some coach's magazine and was just looking for an opportunity to use this thing. Let's see. No, there's not. Okay, well, then let's get out there and be a team, you know, and that sort of thing, and no I in team. Okay, that's great. You know, that's a good lesson for me. So now I know how to spell team, and I know there's no I in team. There may be in some other foreign languages. I don't know. I haven't checked fully. But we're going to talk about today, just very, very briefly, about the body of Christ as this image of what the church is supposed to be about. Go ahead, everybody. Gather around. Okay, spell body. Okay, I didn't do that really together very well, but that's all right. Is there an I in body? No, there's not. But there is a why. There is a why. And I want to share with you why this, very briefly, why this body analogy really works. And I think it's fair for us to say, when someone says that this analogy of the human body actually really works in terms of unity, when we're talking about unity, in terms of what we're supposed to be like, I think it's fair for us to say, really, body analogy? Why? Why? Well, let's think about it for a second here. Why would the body be bigger? How about this image teaches us that our real value is with and to others? Now, not only is there a Y in body, but there's also an O. So when I say the body analogy really, really works, it's genius, you all could say, you could say why first. Why? And then I tell you, because this image teaches us that our real value is with and to others. Then you can go, oh, okay. This body analogy really works for us to understand what unity is all about. Thank you. You're catching on. Coach Salazi would be proud of you. Because this image teaches us that real value is experienced with and from others. Okay, you're getting it. Good. Follow Steve. He's really caught on to this. This body analogy really works for us to understand what unity really is all about. Because this image teaches us finally that we are made for each other. Okay, now to make a long story short, I'm going to read the text, but here's what I want us to start with. We've been talking about unity for several weeks now. And it strikes me that the way it's been presented, it's what God wants for us, it's what God wills for us, what God is doing for us. He is moving us toward unity. It's what Jesus prayed for. And then we talked about all these practical things that we can do. You know, imitate Jesus, let Jesus do his work for us. All of these sorts of things about how we can move toward unity together. And in all of those things, there's a sense in which unity is this thing over there that we're all moving toward. It's a future reality that we want to move toward and realize. And that is true. But it's not only that. Unity is not only a future hope that we're moving toward. It is also a present possibility and many times a present reality that actually turns out to be one of our great assets as we move toward what God wants us to be. In fact, I'd go further than that. Not only is it an asset for us as we discover who we are individually and corporately in Christ and as we move toward who he's made us to be and who he wants us to be and who we will finally be, but it is really the context in which all of this stuff is known and truly in any significant way manifests itself. Now, what do I mean by that? I'll tell you in just a second, but let me read the text first, okay? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. All right. So, what this says to me in terms of unity is that we know and we experience our value individually in a corporate context. And that's not just an option. That's the truth. That apart from others, and I believe this is true of the whole human family, but really, especially and eternally, part of God's family, that the things that we do have value because they're valuable in, with, and to others. And the things that others do are valuable in, with, and to us. That first of all, there's a context for all of this unity stuff that is we're together. We are God's people. We are a family. We are a body. That is the truth. It's not something we're supposed to make happen. It's something that is true. Just like I have a physical body, you have a physical body, and that's a truth. You can have a healthy body or an unhealthy body, but you got a body. You can take care of it or you can trash it, but you got a body. The same is true for us corporately as the body of Christ. And this image helps us to understand that. God has made us, first of all, for himself, and second, for each other, not for ourselves. Now, this is a radically countercultural concept in what we would call a radical individualistic culture. The culture says, you, scoot over, you are important. And it says it to every single one of us. That doesn't help our unity, first of all. And second of all, it's just not true. It is just not true. Everything happens in relationship. Now, the other thing is to understand that the corporate body is going to be healthier. And you've heard actually some wonderful messages about this. I'm sorry I have to preach today, Kevin, because you were on fire. We are in a situation where what each of us does is good, especially for the whole. And apart from the whole, I don't even know what my value is. And it is, really isn't valuable. Final story. Another ninth grade story, actually. Ninth grade biology. One of the things I remember we did in biology back then was we dissected cow eyes. It was quite the day in biology when all these eyes showed up on people's desks. They're big. And they kind of look like eyes. I mean, you know. And so following the directions, we're supposed to cut into them and find out how they all worked. You know, pull things apart. Some people really like that. Other people spend a lot of time kind of on the side with their head down. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about those cow eyes. It's interesting. The cow eye that I was working on while I was working on it wasn't working. Was it? The cow eye I was looking at wasn't looking at me. Was it? Why not? Exactly. It wasn't connected to anything else. That eye was absolutely worthless as an eye, except that I could look at it and I could tear it apart and I could figure out how an eye is supposed to work when it's working, only this one is not, okay? I want to use that analogy for us. Talented people, gifted people, geniuses, amazing talents are like that cow eye. Apart from other people, ultimately, apart from the body of Christ, apart from the living God. You can take those talented people and you can cut them apart, figuratively speaking. You can pull them apart and you can see how talent works. You can see how God has designed things for people to be amazingly talented, amazingly gifted, amazingly intelligent, amazingly athletic, amazingly anything else you can think of. And you can look at those people and in a spiritual / intellectual sort of way, you can pull them apart to say, that's how talent works. That's how gifts work. That's how God glorifies himself through the things that he has put in people. But those talents, those gifts are worthless in any meaningful, lasting way apart from their connection to other people and ultimately connection to the living God. People are going to die, and when they die, those talents are going to die, and millions of years from now, when the sun burns up and we haven't figured out how to travel light years away to another inhabitable planet, which no one's discovered yet, all history is going to die, and all of those talents, all of those amazing things that we could pull apart and say, wow, that really works. That's how God's designed it. Praise you, God. That talent's fantastic, even though it's being used for stupid purposes, but wow, look at that talent. But as far as any lasting value in that talent, it is going to be ultimately like that cow eye that isn't doing what an eye is supposed to do because it's not connected. Do you catch that? So then what this means for us in terms of our unity study is that this unity we're talking about, this togetherness that we're talking about, this relationship with each other that we're talking about isn't an option. It's not a nice thing for all of us talented individuals to choose if we wanted to, if we were nice people. It is a vital reality in all human existence and particularly within the church. And the things that we do together with each other as God's people, in God's purposes, for God's purposes, last. And that's real talent. And that's real gifts. That's real value that we have, that we share, that we know only in a context of being the body. Do you catch that? So, unity is not just this by and by in the sky when you die kind of reality we are all moving toward. It is also a present possibility, a present reality in many cases, that helps us as we help each other, as we serve each other, as we do the things that we're gifted to do without apology. No, I'm no good. Of course you are. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, we have these wonderful principles of neediness. Every single one of us is needy, and every single one of us is needed. There is no room for saying, I'm no good, I'm worthless. You know, that's just selfishness in reverse. But by the same token, there is no room for us to say, yeah, it's all about me, baby. The whole purpose of the church is so I can do what I do. A malady for a lot of pastors, by the way. Probably including me sometimes. Don't say anything. No room for that. No room for pride. Because it's all about us. Ultimately, it's all about the living God. So unity, yes, something we move toward. But also our unity, a tremendous asset. As we affirm it, as we live in it, and as we move together toward greater health and wholeness in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this chance to be together as your people, to worship you all together. Lord, to know you and to share you, to be your body. Lord, help us to affirm this reality that we are together, that we are your body through faith, through your work for us. And you've called us to function like that. And that's how we function. You've called us to find our value, our worth, with each other and in you. Help us to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name.